Welcome to the podcast, His Heartbeat for Women, where we take a biblical look at God's design, His purpose, and His perspective of successful womanhood. My name is Andrea Schwartz, and together with my co-host, Nikki O'Donovan, we'll introduce you to some ordinary women who are actively living in extraordinary ways for Christ and His kingdom. Welcome to another edition of His Heartbeat for Women. And today I have a special guest with me who also happens to be a personal friend and a colleague, Rebecca Rouse, the daughter of Rusas John Rushduni, noted theologian and author of the 20th century. However, my conversation with Rebecca today really doesn't have to do with her father, but it has to do with her grandparents. They have a very intriguing story, not an uncommon story in terms of being immigrants to America, but Rebecca has a good way of telling a story and appreciating the lineage and the ancestry that we all should really want to know about our own families. So thank you, Rebecca. Why don't you just start from the beginning? Tell me how you first came to know of your grandparents' exodus from Armenia to America.
I actually cannot really remember a time when I didn't know. It was something I heard about from when I was very small, because my grandfather was where Armenians came very often to find out what had happened to their family members. So his house in Kingsburg was, I don't think a day ever went by that someone didn't come to visit and want to know something. That is my memory, that there was always people there asking if he knew who had survived in their family and who, if he had news of others who hadn't.
Now, a lot of people are not familiar about what was be termed the Armenian Holocaust. Everybody's very familiar with the Jewish Holocaust during World War II and things that have happened since in Cambodia and Uganda. Fill people in on the history of the Armenian people, if you would.
The Armenians had often been, had other peoples come through their area. Early on, they were a warring people, but they gradually became more of a educational foundation to there. And education was extremely important. Even my grandfather, who in his early days there was no education in the village, his grandfather, who was a priest and another priest, taught him until a school was opened, which was probably, he was probably 10 or 11 then.
And if I'm not mistaken, there are ministers or priests in your family that go back many hundreds of years. Is that not right?
To the year 320.
So that's a long line of people who were seeking after the Lord. I guess it's not a terrible surprise that out of such a family came your grandfather and then eventually your father. What exactly were the circumstances in Armenia that forced your grandparents to have to leave?
My grandfather was living and working in Van at that time, which was not his native village. He had married my grandmother, and they were working for the American mission there. The city, actually at that time, my grandmother had just had a baby recently. The baby was about a year old. And they were in a siege, and the Turks had surrounded the city, and approximately 300 men with less rifles kept the city going and kept the Turks out for enough days for the Russian army to get there, and that's when the Turkish armies fled and they left the area. So my grandmother had actually, in between there, during that time, her first baby died. There was a little lull in the siege. She went to another village, and when the Russian army decided to pull out, my grandmother wasn't even in the city, and they were among the very last to leave. There was a Russian lieutenant there. There was actually some Armenians there who had volunteered to be in that army to help protect the Armenians, who were from Fresno, California. So one of the men who actually helped them actually was a lifetime friend of theirs, and they knew him when they came to California. My grandfather waited for my grandmother. He sent for her. She came with her two younger siblings, and her mother got ready to flee. She had put bread in a friend's wagon. The wagon left, and they lost, which was to be their food supply, on their trek, which was about a 10-day trek from Armenia to the Russian border. So they basically ended up with no food for that whole period of time, and no water either. But my grandfather had waited for my grandmother. She got there, and she had been given a mule. So they had a horse that was lame that the Russian army had also given them. So between the two animals, children and the older members of the family rode. They met up with my grandmother's sister who traveled with them, one of her cousins, I think, and they came to a river. And again, they were the end of those leaving, fleeing. Only those who couldn't travel were left behind, and they knew that those people would be murdered. Also, a lot of Armenians began burning their homes, so the Turks couldn't move into them and take what was left behind, because they left pretty much everything behind. My grandfather had put a rug from their house over the back of the horse, and my grandmother rode on that, and that rug is at my brother Mark's house to this day, and every time there's a wedding in the family, they stand on that rug as a tribute to my grandparents and what they did. But they came to a river, and the Turks were very near behind them. And my grandfather and another man began ferrying people back and forth across the river on these two animals. And at the end, when the Turks finally got there, my grandfather was in the middle of the river, and they were shooting at them. But there were still Armenians on the side that the Turks were. So by the time they finished massacring those people, my grandfather had gotten to the other side, and they had begun their journey on. The river was very swift, and people who tried to cross on their own mostly did not survive. One former policeman in Van got to one side, and he had his son on his shoulders. But when he looked back, he watched the rest of his family completely being swept away, and he just sort of went crazy and threw himself in the river. And there were instances like that, my grandmother said, where people became so hopeless at different points in the journey that they were just left to the wayside, or they, as in the river, drowned.
Now, was the point of contention here, was it like what we see today, that the Turks were trying to convert them? Was it just a question of a power grab? What was the conflict?
When the young Turks came to power, they decided that Turkey should be only for Turkish Muslims, no one else. And so they began taking Armenians into the army, but they wouldn't let them have their guns, and they took the guns away from Armenians, and they left them basically defenseless, and then they were able to very easily simply kill them. My grandmother's sister, Satanik, and her child, and Satanik was expecting, were taken out into a desert-type area. She couldn't keep walking. They were trying to deport all these people. Sometimes they just massacred them. It was easier than making them walk. But she, being pregnant, could walk no further. She had no food, no water, and she died there. And then her child was left there just with her to die, too. And they marched on. There was a woman who knew my grandmother well, who saw it happen, so that they knew for sure what had happened to her. That was the same with my grandmother's father. He went to his place of business, and on the way home, they simply took machetes and killed him and threw him in the river. And the only reason that she knew what had happened to her father was because someone had seen it, ran and hid, and then came and told them. And that was not uncommon. Now, there were good acts from the Turks, too. Some of the Turks who had lived with the Armenians did well by them. My uncle's family, their home had burned. The Turks had burned his home, and the Turks in the neighborhood hid them so that they were able to get to another part of Van and survive. And they were a very wealthy family. My grandmother's family was well-to-do, and they literally lost everything.
I remember reading in a book that was a fictionalized account, but based on fact, of people leaving Armenia during that time. And there's a quote where Hitler is reported to have said, "Nobody will care about what we're doing to the Jews. Nobody said anything about the Armenians."
Yes, and it wasn't just that people did know. People just didn't believe or accept or want to interfere. My grandfather actually worked with a man who came over to do a book on what was going on, and because there was a price on my grandfather's head, he used the name Peter. Rare copies of that book are still around today, as he took this British man whom he actually looked enough like that the Turks assumed they were brothers. So he was walking among the Turks, and they thought my grandfather was English because he was so fluent in English, Kurdish, and Turkish. And so they thought he was an intelligent British person. In fact, they said, your brother, the man who was writing the book, is so stupid, he didn't even bother to learn our language, and you bothered to learn it. So although there was a price on his head and they wanted him dead, thinking he was someone else, they complimented him.
Did your grandfather speak with an English accent?
I wouldn't say it was English, but it wasn't. Of course, by the time I knew him, he'd been in America quite a while. I don't remember any actual English accent there. But he must have had one at one time to have fooled the Turks that this man was working with.
Now, first of all, did both your grandmother and your grandfather tell you stories? It was mostly your grandmother.
No, mostly my grandfather. My grandmother did write some things down, so I've learned some from that. But they actually had to flee in the middle of the funeral of her baby. And she knew that because what the Turks would do, they would desecrate the child's body. She had a hard time with that, and she had a hard time talking about, till the very end of her life, about things that had happened to her. Very hard time.
And from what I understand, both she and your grandfather really embraced being in America and were very, very grateful to God that they had arrived here.
They were, but if my grandfather had felt things were better over there, he would have returned. He really would have returned. My grandmother, on the other hand, told him she was not leaving. He felt a mission toward Armenians, and he did continue that mission in this country, starting several churches, San Francisco, Detroit, Kingsburg, California. So he did work with the Armenians, which was his burden.
What effect did it have on you hearing these stories as you were growing up?
A gratefulness for what they'd accomplished, what they did in coming here, and just being able to be here, looking back over their lives and the miracles, miracle after miracle it took for them to even get here, it was amazing. It just always seemed like an amazing feat that they'd accomplished. And that was even before I understood what the march had been like for them and how they had to wrap rags around their feet, and they went without water, and they would put mud, if they found mud, in a kerchief and squeeze the water into their mouths just to get a little bit of water, this muddy water they were so grateful for. Just so many things they went through. They ended up in Russia. My grandfather did not speak Russian, but because he was speaking English, he was recognized by other Englishmen. And so because of that, he was given priority. At first, they thought he was a spy or something because his papers were Turkish. And at that time, Russia wasn't giving aid to the Turks at all, any Turk. So because he was so fluent in English, and then he had papers that he was educated in Edinburgh, Scotland, so they did give him priority status, and they did help him. My grandfather in Armenia was arrested at least 4 times, but using false names, sometimes actually his own name, because the difference in the way they did their names. My grandfather lived in the Rushdunik village. The whole village was Rushdunis. But to separate you within the village, you took your father's name and added IAN to it. So his name in the village was Yeryazar Kachatorian. His father's name was Kachik. So there were 10 to 11 main families in the village. And this is a village of about 2,000 people. So these were big families. But he was the very last of the oldest family of the village. And his grandfather used G-E-R in front of his name to signify that he was the old aristocracy.
So did your grandfather have any bitterness towards what had happened to him?
No, and he would have welcomed any Turk to his door and fed him. There was no animosity at all. He just felt a need to preach the faith. And that seemed to be what he had learned from his father and grandfather.
Would you say that the conflict was deemed by the Armenians more of a religious conflict or a political conflict?
Religious. It was about them being Christian in a Muslim country.
I see.
And the Young Turks wanted the country to be Turkish and Muslim and nothing else.
And at first, did some Armenians try to accommodate and see if they could have peaceful coexistence, or from the beginning was it pretty apparent that it was going to be leave or die?
There was a new constitution at one point in Turkey, and they had hope. So a lot of them surrendered arms, tried to get along, tried to be a part of Turkey. But it became apparent after a while that these young Turks were the ones who were going to be in power, and their only goal was to rid Turkey of anything Christian and anything that wasn't Turkish. It was against the Armenians because that was the major other population there, but it was against anyone who wasn't Turkish and Muslim. They would accept the converts if you converted.
Did your grandparents find any bias when they came to the U.S.?
My grandfather never spoke of things like that. That wouldn't have ever been something that he'd have looked back on and said, oh, it was like this and like this. He was a forward-looking person, felt he had a responsibility before God because he was spared and because he had been given so many privileges like being educated in Edinburgh and being able to attend even junior college, and his wife was educated at a college. Because of these things through the American mission, he was very grateful and felt a responsibility to honor what they had done for him and to be to stand for Christ.
Is it your sense that your grandparents instilled in their children, of which I know your father was the oldest and then he had a sister and a brother, was there a sense that they were Armenians first and Americans second, or were they Armenian Americans, or were they just Americans?
They were American Armenians. My grandmother especially was extremely proud to be here and extremely grateful to be here. My grandfather, as I said, he would have gone back if he felt that was where the Lord was leading him. But he also felt, having lost his first child, that there was a reason he was spared, that a reason they were both spared. And actually, my grandmother was expecting my dad on their journey to America. So during the times when they had no water, had no food, as they were walking, marching through the deserts to get to Russia, the things they came up against when they got to Russia, because that was the beginning of the famines, which is one of the reasons my grandfather decided that wasn't a good place to stay. My grandmother's mother and her brothers and some of the family members and her two younger siblings actually stayed in Russia for a while. So there were a lot of family members that came over later, partly because of the Russian famine. And a lot of the Armenians who survived fleeing died in Russia because of things like that. My grandfather always talked about that there was a reason for his escaping, for him being able to be in a country where his children and he could be anything or do anything that they wanted to do. My father was born with them assuming from the very beginning that there was a special reason ordained by God for his birth and his survival.
Wow.
So he was always, from the day of his birth, taught that he had a special purpose in life. And my grandfather always would say that to us children, that great things, he was going to do great things for God, that God had a special path for him.
Very prophetic words, as it turns out.
Yes, but Dad was also raised that was why they had survived. That was the main reason for all the trials and tribulations they'd gone through and the narrow escapes they'd gone through. So Dad knew that from the time he could remember things. And Dad literally remembered things from when he was crawling. His memory was, I have a memory back to things when I was 3 or 4 years old, but Dad actually remembered and once described as an adult to his mother, who was in shock, something he remembered when he was crawling about the house they were living in at the time. So his memory was definitely trained from early on. And like I said, education was extremely important to them.
Was your father fluent in Armenian?
Yes. In fact, he said until he was in college at the university, actually, he thought in Armenian. And it was then, I believe at Berkeley, he began not thinking so much in Armenian in his mind. Things were in English.
Did he have you children learn Armenian?
No. It was important to my grandmother that we were American. And Dad never had a lot of time. We learned words here and there, but because we visited the Armenians and didn't live so much among them, what we did learn has mostly been lost. I only have a few words. We learned phrases and introductions and things like that, but not to be fluent at all.
And you also knew some of the words when they were very angry with you.
Actually, I retained more of the Shoshone than I did of the Armenian.
I see.
Not that, and of course, playing with the Indian kids, I didn't always learn the words my parents would have liked me to learn.
Right. Now, just explain that to the people who are listening. When you say the Shoshone, what are you talking about?
I was born while my parents were on the Owyhee Indian Reservation in northeastern corner of Nevada. My playmates and we moved to Santa Cruz just before I turned six. So for those years, we lived among the Shoshone people. So we children were taught song in the language. And we played with the children, so we did pick up some of that. I've lost most of that except the songs. My father did say, for whatever reason, and maybe because I mostly played with the little boys because they were the ones close in, that I learned all the bad words very quickly.
Oh, yeah. One of the costs of doing business, I suppose. Well, let me ask you this. In looking at the story and picturing what it was like when your grandparents were telling you this, how important do you think it is for people to know the stories of their parents and grandparents and great-grandparents?
I don't think you really know who you are unless you do know, especially in this country, what the early people did in this country and what they fought for, what they died for, is what makes the country. It also makes you who you are. Understanding my grandparents and reading more about them and learning more about them, and I'm trying to write something down now for my nieces and nephews and children, you understand more not just who your relatives, your ancestors are, but you and what was so important to them and the centuries of the struggles that they had living in a part of the world that was especially Muslim and very anti-Christian. Both my grandparents' parents had their fathers were murdered because they were preaching. My grandfather's father was in the process of becoming a priest when a Turkish soldier got angry at him, hit him with a gun, and blinded him. My grandmother's father was, as I said earlier, killed walking home from work. And he was a man who lived and worked among the Turks and the Kurds and was well-known and well-liked by them. So it was just coming upon somebody who was angry and taking it out on the Armenians at the time, which was prevalent and done frequently. He probably felt a little more secure than he should have because these people came into his home, he went to their homes, he spoke the languages. So he had, my grandmother's father had the first sewing machine in the city of Van. And he was a tailor and had a shop there, a kind of a general merchandise material, that kind of thing, shop, hats, whatnot. They made the epaulets for the Turkish people that they wore on their shoulders.
So what do you think, I mean, this is kind of a tough question because I'm asking you to speculate. Your father has passed. We're on the 10th anniversary of his death, and your grandparents obviously have been gone much longer than that. What do you think their impressions would be about what's happening in the world today with Islam being a very, very major part of most news stories and events that are happening around the world?
I think my grandfather in particular would think not much has changed. And I think he would be a little appalled that the Muslim religion is so accepted and considered a peaceful religion. Its practice has never been such and is definitely not such in Africa today. So I think it would bother him greatly. I think he would push on and preach more, and if he was able, probably want to minister to these people.
So it wouldn't be a feeling of hatred. It would be a feeling of this conflict has raged for a better part of a century and to step up his efforts to continue to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ.
Yes, and he would definitely feel that that was the only way to change anything was through Christ, definitely.
Your father passed in February of 2001, and of course 9/11/2001 happened months after he passed away. But I somehow think that your father would speak about what we're experiencing today as judgment because especially the church and certainly the nation has abandoned God's law, and we're reaping what exactly has been sown.
Exactly. That's exactly what he would have felt. I told someone recently, it's very hard to say God bless America these days just because America is so anti-God that in my heart I know God's not going to bless that. I say God save America.
Right.
Because that's the only way that the blessings on America can come again. And my grandfather's attitude was always one of, we will preach Christ. That's the only way to reach anybody. And his theology and my father's was different in a lot of ways. I couldn't necessarily tell you what it was. My grandfather came, his father and his grandfather were becoming priests in the Armenian Apostolic Church. Because after he was orphaned, he ended up in the American mission, he changed to a more Presbyterian kind of a religion. But I think in some ways he hadn't come as far as by the time Dad was writing, that Dad had come. But there was a genuineness, and he was a man who you could see God in his face. It is something I have never quite gotten over. He just radiated. We would walk, it was a mile or so into town. They lived on a farm in Kingsburg. He would walk, and it might take us an hour and a half, 2 hours to get there, because he would stop and talk with everyone along the way. Cars would pull over, offer him a ride, and then sit there and talk. He was just loved by so many people because of his attitude. And I think that the faith of the person didn't matter in any way, shape, or form in their relationship with my grandfather because of the nature of his nature. And it was always one of genuine love, concern, and wanting to save them, to preach to them, to share what his knowledge of God with them.
Well, regardless of one's particular orientation to the faith, that's certainly something that we all can and should emulate.
Yes. He was a man that love was just evident in him. His love of his fellow man, his love of his God, his love of his family was always very evident. And as I said before, people came to his door knowing he would tell them what had happened to those that they loved. I can remember people crying. I can remember it being sad. And yet there was also laughter and there was joy. My grandfather was a man of great joy in every area of his life. There was always a smile and joy on his face.
And that's really interesting when you think about it, because he witnessed what most of us, if we even saw a small fraction of it depicted in movies, might turn away. And yet it's a real testimony to the Spirit of God living in a person that he didn't let that define him. He continued to let Christ define him.
Yes, exactly.
All right. Well, before I let you go, is it true that a book might be coming out about the experiences of your family?
I'm not sure what's happening with that book right now. About a year ago, someone talked to me about writing, especially using the rug as a theme, because this rug has been an important part of our lives just because of the journey the rug took and the symbol, what the rug symbolizes when each niece or nephew or cousin gets married, standing on this rug that has come so far through so much. And that was to be the basis, I believe, of the story. I'm writing my own thing for my nieces and nephews. I don't want any of them to ever forget or not understand the importance of what my grandparents did and what their lives were about.
You know, it dawned on me, through all of this, we never actually said their names.
My grandfather was Yerhiazar, and my grandmother was Vartanush, which means sweet rose. I don't know the actual meaning of my grandfather's name.
Well, thank you, and I appreciate you taking the time.
Thank you.